Matthew 28. We're looking at loyalty.
Respect, loyalty, and honor.
I like to put it that way. Respect, loyalty, and honor. Glory to God. So this is the third and last session.
I want to end it today. Glory to God. This is the third session or second. Third, right?
Hallelujah.
So let's just wrap it up today.
Amen. Matthew 28. And Jesus came, verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in the earth. Say, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age.
Hallelujah. So something we've been looking at from last week to last week, we said that this will be Jesus' instruction over the 40 days, right? And when he says, go make disciples, it shows a relationship, right? It's a relationship. In Mark 16, from verse 16, they go into the world and preach the gospel. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. When you use the word there, saved, that is the word sozo. When you have from the word sozo, from a family word of soteria. Soteria. And in soteria, you will have the sota, the saved. So when you hear, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, it shows a relationship. Because in salvation, the sota will be found with the saved. The reason why he will not say God walking with them is the student. Hallelujah. So it shows a relationship between the saved and the Savior. And in that relationship, he says, one, in that relationship, God is the Master, he is the Father. John 14:2, in my Father's house, my Father's family. So that means we are sent unto a family. Amen. God's family. Amen. So it's a relationship. We said, God is a relationship. We said that the Bible opens up with God's supernatural relationship. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Matthew 28. All authority has been given to me in heaven and the earth. So we can say, can we say all authority has been given to me in the Father family? Is that heaven and earth? So where is the authority? In the Father family. So Genesis 1:1 opens up with God's supernatural family. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Relationship. So God is a relational God. Oh, you're following me. Oh, you're following me. We say God is a relational God. We say the Bible, we say the new man is a relationship. Right? The new man itself is a relationship. So when you hear new birth, it is to be saved. New birth. It's to be saved. It's the Spirit of God in us. John 14:16, and I'll pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So, the new birth itself is a relationship. It is God at home in man. So the new birth is a relationship. The Bible, we said, is a book of relationship. The Bible is a book of relationship. Hallelujah. It opens up a relationship. Adam and Eve. Hallelujah. Adam and Eve. Cain and Abel. Jacob and Esau. Isaac and Ishmael. Abraham and Lot. Did you see that? Relationship. Hallelujah. So that means the Bible we said is a book of relationship. That means we'll model our relationship from the scripture. That's what we said. Hallelujah. Look at Romans quickly. Romans, fast. And then you're the side on the weak side of your children. Romans 15. Right there. Verse 4. It says, and whatsoever things were written aforetime
were written for our learning.
When it says aforetime, it means it was written in the scriptures.
Right?
What was written was written for our learning. That word learning is the word with us for our for teaching.
Did you know?
For our learning. So that means the scriptures were learned from the scriptures. The scriptures are written for teaching.
Right?
Also, that means the stories in scriptures were not just stories
like bedtime stories. No.
They are for our learning also.
Did you see that? So that means, since the scripture is a book of relationship, that means we could actually learn
from the relationship of the Bible characters
or relationships within Bible characters.
Hallelujah! And we said we are. Is not this that we also said that Jesus would talk, or Jesus would teach rather. Jesus would teach
using characters within the Old Testament book
to point to virtues in relationship. We will see that
last time, right?
We saw Cain. Jesus is not Sodom.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Did we find that for Paul too? Paul did the same. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians 10. Hallelujah. There's no more as they did. And they were destroyed in one day. Did you see that? Let's not more like they did. So he takes them back to the wilderness, the relationship they have in the wilderness. So, let's not commit fornication as they did. Did you see that? Hallelujah.
Who can follow in this? The letter of Hebrews did the same. Jude did the same for Cain. Hallelujah. We found Balak.
Oh, sorry, Balak. Right? We find Balak. Balak is used for that relationship that you want to extort. Pastor members relationship where the pastor seek to extort the member. Hallelujah. For gain. You see that?
The extension is for gain. Hallelujah. So there are relationships we should learn, or there are characters or relationship within Bible that we'll learn from. So that means to say,
we don't model our relationship from the world. Hallelujah. We're going to see something shortly. There's a way to mold the world portrays relationship to us. But we don't learn how to keep relationships from the world. We don't learn how to carry out our relationships with the way the world has painted them.
Hallelujah. However, the virtues we portray in relationship are virtues that were found and seen in scriptures. Hope you're following this. Amen. So last time we began looking at what? Okay, we looked at Anna and who?
Eli.
Or Eli. Right?
Did we see Anna and Eli?
Right?
And we say Eli will portray a priest, right? A minister. We also portray an elderly man. How to treat elderly people?
Glory to God.
How to treat elderly people? Amen. Amen. Glory to God.
So, if you miss that, make sure you get that thing. Get that message. We'll have a whole lot around that in that teaching. Thank you. Glory to God.
Amen. So we said, a minister might make a mistake in judgment because he will still be human. But that doesn't mean you now blow it overboard and say, Pastor Tilago, no.
Hallelujah. Our team, no. You don't see such things.
Hallelujah.
Okay, young man.
Amen.
Don't say such things. Glory to God. Let's look at someone else. Saul. Who is Saul?
Saul. Let's look at Saul as a person.
Saul. Saul was a king in Israel. Right? Right? Saul was a king in Israel. Not is a king. You don't know, guys. Saul was a king in Israel. So the question we have ourselves is, who is a king in Israel? Right? Let's answer that question. Who is a king in Israel? Deuteronomy chapter 17. Who is a king in Israel? Huh?
Okay, a king is someone who has fought the war. No, that's wrong. Let's see who a king in Israel is.
Deuteronomy 17. Now let's see something. Other nations had kings. See, kings in other nations were, look at this.
Kings in other nations were national leaders, were politicians.
Amen?
You say, were they politicians? They were politicians. They were national leaders.
But look at what Moses said to the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 17, quickly. Amen. From verse 14. He said, when thou hast come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall possess it, and shall dwell therein, and shall say, I will set a king over me like the nations that are about me. Did you see that? God didn't say he will give them a king, but he said you will say. So Moses is already predicting what their behavior. He said, you people will say, God, give us a king like other nations. Did you see that? But here's what Moses said. He says, thou shalt in any wise, thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shall thou set king over thee, that thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. But he shall not multiply horse to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt. So the end that he should multiply horses, for as much as the Lord has said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way.
Did you get what it says? What is the rule of the king? I'm going to expound this. God's ruling, God's grace, God's jealousy. Then he shall not multiply horses. The king will not multiply horses unto himself. Exactly the opposite of what Saul did. And not multiply horses unto himself. What does it mean? Is that balance? Is that balance? That's
God. See that? I need to say,
it's not that we pray to get enriched. I want to say,
one,
they will not take you back to Egypt. What is Egypt? What is Egypt? I don't worship or believe Egypt is empty. Did you see that?
What are you following me? Aha, so let's go for that. Well, this is not what I want to teach you for today, but I just want you to see that. Hallelujah, verse 17. Then shall he multiply wives to himself. Okay, this is Saul. This is Solomon. That his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply unto himself silver and gold. Did you see that? 18. It shall be, when he seated upon the throne of his kingdom, right? Mark that word kingdom. That he shall write him a copy of this law in the book out of which is before the priest, the Levite. Yes, what he says. Look at what he says in verse 19. And he shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life. So when he says he shall read therein,
that word to read therein is a word used for to explain. Hallelujah. So that means the king is a teacher. The king in Israel is a teacher. The king in Israel is a pastor. Amen? The king in Israel is a who? Is a who? So the king in the nations of the world is who? A politician.
Hope you are seeing that. Hope you are seeing that.
And I know where I'm going. Amen? So somebody was asking, I thought that said, in the Bible, prophets stood up for the king. And I was just laughing. They will speak the truth to power. We're coming there.
Okay, let's not get there. But we'll see how to deal with people in authority. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So a king is a pastor. Right? Did you see that? So let's see Saul. Saul is a king. What kind of king? Look at Deuteronomy. I mean 1 Samuel quickly, chapter 8, quickly. Verse 7. Okay, look at verse 5. And said unto him, behold, thou art old. These are the people of... Okay, be fast. I have a lot to look at. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 5. Now, if we read verse 4, the elders of Israel gathered unto Samuel, and they said unto him, behold, thou art old, and thy son walk not in thy way. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. Is that Deuteronomy 18? Is that Deuteronomy 17? Like all the nations. Ah! And the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. Did you see that? So before Sam, before Saul, who was the king?
God was the king. Did you see that? Did you see that? Who was the king? God was the king. And how did God lead them? Through the prophets, right? Samuel, Eli. Did you see that? And how God led them. But who was the king? God. What are you following me? So the prophet is God's mouthpiece. We hear from God and serve the king. Hope you're following that.
Hallelujah. Very vital. So that means the people needed a king. If we read from verse 14, from verse 13, sorry. Samuel tried to convince them. He said, this guy, if you, he will appoint captains over thousands and captains over 50. That is verse 12. He will tell them, hey, in verse 13, he will take your daughters. He will do this. He will take your fields. He will do this. They be in verse 18 into 19. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, nay, let's have a king over us. Did you see that? So that means the choice of Saul was the people's choice. Did you see that? Amen? Amen? That is why when you hear David is a man after God's heart, what does it mean? It means Saul was the people's choice. David is God's choice. Hope you're following me. So Saul is the people's choice. They wanted a king. And God gave them what they wanted. Hope you're following me. So God gave them what they wanted. God gave them their choice. You know, Saul was very huge. Amen! King. Huge guy. Big guy. Bicep. Temper. King. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because it was the people's choice, he did what everyone who is the people's choice would do. He pleased
the people over God. He pleased the people over God. He was a man pleaser.
Yeah, he pleased the people over God. Look at something. Let me just show you quickly. In chapter 11, there's something you're going to see, and I'm going to show you some other things. In chapter 11, he fought the Amorites and he won them. Hallelujah. So the people were happy. Oh, hope you're following me. The people were happy. But before that, look at chapter 13. Chapter 13, verse 6. Remember I said he pleased the people over God. Now chapter 13, verse 6. So when the men of Israel saw that they were in straits. Now this was the war between them. The Philistines were planning an attack. Do you get me? So now listen. And Samuel had told Saul that they should wait, that, let me give you a Bible. Samuel had told Saul to wait for him that he can offer the sacrifice. Did you see that? So whosoever sacrificed? The prophet. Did you see that? The priest. Now let's see. So when the men saw that they were in straits, or the people were distressed, then the people did hide themselves in caves and thickets, and in rocks, and in high places, and in pits. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, bring Tita a burnt offering to me, and peace offering, and he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he made an end of offering the burnt offering Behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, that he may salute him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He was faster than God. And Samuel said, "What hast thou done?" And Saul said, look at Saul's response, "Because I saw the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Mishmah. Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself therefore and offered a burnt offering." Did you see that? So what was his reason? He said the people. Did you see that? What was his reason?
The people. He went for the people.
Did you see that? He was ready to please the people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. How are you following me? He went for the people. He went.
I have it like this in my notes. He followed the mob. In today's world, they followed the mob. He followed the people.
Popularity, opinion. He went for it. Hallelujah. So he was a man pleaser. Glory to God. So when Paul writes in Ephesians 6 and he's writing concerning master and servant, and he tells the servants, don't be men pleasers.
Amen.
I serve. That's what he did. I serve. Oh, Saul. Amen. You're not going to take notes. If you stay with the mobs will always come for you. Hallelujah. See, I have something in my notes. The world will always turn against their own. The mobs will always turn against their own. They always do turn against their own.
The people like me, I'm the man of the people. The people always turn against their own. Why? Because you always have someone better. Never fall for that game that people like.
Right. I just want to say, nobody likes me, say, happy are you?
Yeah.
Happy are you? See, the people will always come against you. Never forget that. If you stay with the mobs, if you stay with the mob, they will come against you. Look at Paul. Look at Saul. So I was with them. But the moment David came and brought down Goliath, what happened? The song changed. Saul killed 1,000. Who was 1,000? The Ammonite. David killed 10,000. Ah. Why did Saul get angry? Why did he get jealous? He got jealous because he depended on the people. He depended on the boss. So the moment the music changed, he got jealous. Okay, I'm following you. The mob will always change. You always change. I've known that well. Amen? Amen? So they always change. They will always come for you. When they don't have anybody to come for against you, so be careful. Hope you're following me. Amen. Amen. Glory, glory, glory. And in following him up, what did he do? He sinned against God. Hope you know that. What did he do here? He sinned against God. He offered what he was not supposed to offer. And because of that, in verse 14, look at what Samuel said to him. He said, "Now the kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him, a man after his own heart." Did you see that? Hallelujah. "And the Lord has commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." Hope you are seeing that. Hallelujah. He's the people's choice. Look at chapter 15, just two chapters away. Hallelujah. Now he was going to the Amalekites.
Let me give you the background. The Amalekites. And he was going to fight against the Amalekites. Or what you call Amalekites.
That's very wrong grammar. Amalekites. Okay. Was going to fight against the Amalekites. And something happened. Samuel had told him that he should kill everything. Everything, he should destroy everything.
What did he do? He saved the king and carried the sword, the partner, the good thing, and go home.
And who told him to bring it up? The people.
The same people that he turned against him. Isn't it?
Let's see that. I'm kind of shutting the reading because reading is long. Amen. Amen. Look at verse 10. And then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me. He hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set up a place, and he has gone out. Okay, let's drop down to verses 14 into 15 and 17. Look at 14. And Samuel said, what meant then this bleating of sheep? When Samuel came to meet him, he heard bleating of sheep in my ears, and the lowing of oxen, which I hear. And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites. He didn't say here, he said they have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people. Did he say that again? Did he say God?
Who? The people.
Watch that. He said, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thy own eyes, was thou not made the head of the tribe of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? Did you see that? And the Lord set thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore hast thou not obeyed the voice of the Lord, and didst fly upon the spoils, and did evil in the sight of the Lord? You see that? Hallelujah. And if he had more to say, verse 20, and Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. And he, this is funny.
The book of Samuel, if you read 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy and Titus and Philemon, you are reading 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, Kings and Chronicles for pastors who are qualified to teach us
your role as a leader in church from Samuel. You're going to learn them from me. From here. Hallelujah. I heard him say something, but I just found. He says he has obeyed the voice. You have been told you have not
obeyed God, but I said, I have obeyed. So where can we help the situation from?
Even God will just be looking at you and say, Kai! That is just it. Hallelujah. And I've gone the way of the Lord. And I have brought Agag, the king of the king of Amalek, who told you to bring the king and destroy the Amalekites. But the people took, it is said again, but the people.
So you can say Saul is a man of the people, for the people, by the people, in the people.
No. He's talking about the people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Very bad. I want to jump down to verses, I need you to sit on to me, 22 into 24. Okay, 22, are we 22, are we 23, and which verse 30, so you see something. 22. And someone said, have the Lord and say, have the Lord as great delight in burnt offering and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, it is. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. And to hearken than the fat of ram. For rebellion is as a seed of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. What is the reading for? Reading from Deuteronomy 18, but we are not going there now. Because thou hast rejected the words of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king. Amen. Amen. Okay. Look at now, he now started to do something that people do. RNG, verse 24. And some said unto Samuel, I've sinned, yes. I've transgressed the commandment of the Lord, yes. He was not ready to repent of the Lord, or thy God, because I feared the people and obeyed their voices, right? Now look at verse 30. And he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now. He's telling the prophet. Amen? Honor me now.
I pray thee, before the elders of my people, and before Israel, and talk again with me, that I may worship the Lord thy God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Very fine. Very fun. What he did there was very funny. He called Saul.
As they say. Right now. Don't bring him out. The answer. So no one. Just follow me before them. Don't see anything. I will just bow down and worship God. RNG. RNG.
Let's just do sharp one. There you go. But here is what Samuel said to him that is very vital in verse 17. Verse 17, Samuel said, when thou was little in your eyes, was thou not made the head of Israel?
When thou was little in your eyes, what comes up here? Matthew 20? Jesus Christ, right? He that is least among you shall be what? Great. What we are saying that?
So when thou was small in thy eyes, I wrote in my notes, this is how you must always see yourself. Always see yourself this way. Never be too big in your own eyes.
So when it says small in your eyes, it is humility. Be humble. A Christian must be humble. Humility. In your service to the Lord, in your service to God,
you must never be big in your own eyes. In your service to God, you must never be big in your eyes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Never be big in your eyes.
You're not a leader. You're not an intensive figure. You don't have shoulder back.
No.
I must never be big in my eyes. That's humility.
Amen?
Then how can I be an engine chair? You know how long I've been in this ministry? You don't say that yet. Hallelujah. If not, if you have a toilet, you'll be washing the toilet. You don't say that yet. You know how long? You can say that when you are at home. You can't come to church and say, do you know how long I've been cleaning the toilet? You're clean. Hallelujah. Don't be big in your eyes. Don't be afraid of you.
Amen. Saul was big in his own eyes. And God had to choose someone else called David.
Hallelujah. Over Saul.
Hallelujah. So what is the difference between Saul and David? David didn't see himself as big in his eyes.
When someone anointed David, David didn't take it to Facebook. The new king is here. No. He kept it to himself. Hallelujah.
That is it. He kept it to himself. That's the difference. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It kept it itself. In fact, David called Saul. David knew that this guy, if he just died at his down, the next king, right?
But yet he called him Lord. You know, David was so close to Saul's son, Jonathan. Tell me David. Jonathan and the father were having a discussion, and the father asked him, the way you are going to give this kingdom to David. You know, Saul didn't know that David was the anointed king. What do you give this? Jonathan's response was shocking. Amen. He just like say, what is that? What is that? And the brother carried javelin. Your son. And he threw javelin at him. Saul hated David because of that relationship. Because he felt his son is going to leave the kingdom.
He wanted David dead. Remember, he was corrupt. Right? He was corrupt. What did David dead? And David was the next king. Then in Luke chapter 24. I'm just running through 1 Samuel. I'm just doing the book of Samuel. Chapter 24. And here came an opportunity to embarrass him. Chapter 24. And the men, David, Saul came to look for David. So it was late in the night. Saul had slept. Slept well. Verse 4. And the men of David said unto him, behold, the day of the Lord, the day which the Lord had, the Lord said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thy enemies to thy hand, that thou mayest do to him as it seems good unto thee. Then David rose and cut the head of false men. Did you see that? Did you see that? You know, if David was a man of the people, like Saul, would have killed Saul that night. Hallelujah.
Hope you know that.
He just got part of it. And, it's very funny. And the fact is, the Bible says David had smote him because he had cut off Saul's head. And he said unto his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master. He still called him his master. You see that? The Lord anointed to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing he is anointed of the Lord. And David stayed his servant with this word. This is that he stayed his servant with this word, meaning he began to teach them. Hallelujah. That's the role of a pastor. He had to teach them. He stayed them with this word. Far be it from me, I should touch the Lord's anointed. Hallelujah. Did you see the difference? Hallelujah. Very vital in your relationship with pastors. Very vital. With ministers. Glory to God. A situation can present itself. You know, Saul was both a national leader, listen, and a pastor. Hope you know that. He was one leading the children of Israel. Never forget that. But I'm not dealing with national leaders. I'm talking about your relationship with pastors. A situation presents itself for David to kill Saul and become king. You know, today you have that in social media. Oh yeah. Social media presents you that opportunity to be able to speak to anybody without you having respect. Today they call out people on Twitter. Let's drag Felicia today. At official Felicia. She claims she's a child of God and speaks in wearing trousers. Now wow. Everybody begins to drag you. Anytime. Did you know that? They begin to drag you. You know, social media presents the opportunity to speak ill against God's servant. Now this time you doesn't need to have a dagger or a spear or a javelin to kill someone. You do that easily by just hiding. Hallelujah. Amen. To just throw people all because you want fame. You want the number. Hope you know that. People do that a whole lot. If I see that this guy now is having 10,000 followers, I'm not to get part of the followers. I just do one serious blackmail. And people begin to follow you. But it's a popular guy. Amen? Opportunity presents itself on social media. We are not that kind of person. Hallelujah. Amen. If you can't do such things because of followership that is vague. Popularity that is vague. Hallelujah. Because of acceptance. No. Hallelujah. That is you playing into the devil's hand. You are playing into the devil's hands. You don't do that.
Hope you hear me.
You are playing into Satan's hands.
Was Saul a good leader?
No.
Was he corrupt?
Yes. Amen?
But you know what? Touching on the Lord's anointing.
It's very simple. Go to God. These days, the social media has now made a lot of people not to have respect for sacred things.
You must respect sacred things. What are sacred things? Things that God holds dear to his heart are sacred.
So you don't joke with them.
You don't joke with the body of Christ.
No, you don't. You don't joke with ministers.
You don't.
You don't joke with the local church. You don't.
Amen? Amen? Go ahead.
You don't joke with spiritual things. You don't. What can you say? That even as a guy's joke, that joke is so sweet. Because somebody is speaking to another person, now mocking it. Now say, and it's very funny, now put it online. You don't share it. No. Amen. Those are sacred things. Those are sacred things.
People are trolling a miracle. And you see you are sharing it. How? How? Some people would never have some certain spiritual, some people never have some experiences because of the fact that they have rubbish.
Amen. Amen.
Social media can make you disrespect sacred things. Some people do not have Holy Ghost meeting. People are not rejoicing. You know, look at it. They now use it to sing song. You have it with you. You now share it. How?
You shouldn't even watch it. I know what Pastor Henry said to us. He said that he as a person, he doesn't watch kids that talk about the church.
When I tell you then, don't save yourself. Don't even watch it.
Amen.
Then watch it.
Because Satan always plays a long game.
He will little by little begin to lose value for sacred things.
You now, the only person you follow is Pastor Remote. Very soon you'll become remote control.
Amen? You don't do that.
That's how it is.
Faith prophecy. Faith pastor. Faith in your mouth.
And now
you're getting prepared. For see how they say, I see open eyes. I get into deep things. My eyes revelation knowledge more.
But you don't see the revelation knowledge. Don't be laughing against it.
I don't know why. I want the Lord to show me more, but I can't even see anything. How will you see? You're seeing like lost. Don't you? Because you don't,
if you desire revelation, give you won't show it online.
You don't even want to see that yet. You don't start laughing. That is funny, huh? Come on. Amen. There are things that are sacred, you don't laugh.
Even if you're already flowing in it before, the moment you begin to laugh at those things, it stops.
And some people, their signal is always, is the signal they've been given since. Since they knew how to give them revelation,
the same thing, the same thing.
Amen. No, you don't show those things.
Hallelujah. Who are following me?
You don't joke about.
You don't put it in your jokes at all. Hope you're following me. I hope to show you more of this as we go ahead. You don't joke with those things. Hallelujah. So, you know what
David had over Saul was opportunity. Right?
If David had gone ahead to kill Saul,
David would be an opportunist. Don't be an opportunist. Not just for ministers, towards your friends. Don't be an opportunist. You just give me one opportunity, just shining, just outshining, just blessing. No.
Amen?
No. Don't be an opportunity.
Don't! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! In 1 Samuel 26, another opportunity presented itself. Yes! Another opportunity presented. Yes! David said, no, I will not touch the Lord's anointed.
Hallelujah. To make you see that Satan doesn't give up. He will keep giving you opportunity for it to become an opportunity.
It will always show itself. Don't say it has happened once. It cannot happen again. It will keep happening. It's at your beck and call. Opportunity.
The one who prays, everybody will say, yeah, yeah. He spoke the truth. He's a reader. Ah, he has my name, G. But you know what? Is that attitude right with God?
Or are you just like Saul? They are going for the people. Hallelujah. Amen. There was a time like that, a very naughty guy took on pastors regarding tithes. An OAP took on pastors regarding tithes. Ah! Me! That! Yeah!
The fact that some pastors, a lot of ministers or the church couldn't, most times, or put it this way, a lot of pastors should say that Pastor Martha Shimolo said concerning that issue when it was happening was that what we had was people being reactive. Nobody came out to actually tackle the issue head on because people have left what the church is for, teaching. Isn't that? So when someone like that took on minister, people began, the kind of response we got from some pastors or from people were, don't follow that guy. If you don't give that, it will tithe on you. You will go to hell. You will do it because there was no real bad response. Hope you know that. Yeah? But you know that guy was an opportunist.
No opportunist. It took on ministers. The report of somebody that have heard me teach about tithing years ago, he came for a meeting. And heard me teach. He said, do you follow?
He called him on the guy. What you are saying is similar. Like your view about, I say my view and his view are not the same. Ah! Don't rob me. Don't cover me.
Seriously, I'm not going to show you that. But I said, don't cover me. How can my view and his view be the same? Can never be the same. Amen. It was an opportunity. And you know several people gave him thumbs up.
He said, hey, he's saying the truth. Never be like that.
Amen?
Never be like that. The father, I just been teaching on tithing. Right? This is Israel. This is yet Israel. Hallelujah. I just taught you on it.
Come on. Hallelujah. Because the title is not tithe. But we taught tithe mostly. Right? We took that teaching from tithe, given in the local church. Or to give from Amen. Amen. So Satan will always keep giving you opportunity for you to become an opportunist. But Satan will not be an opportunist. I will not be an opportunist that trample my friends, trample sacred things underfoot. No. Hope you're hearing me. Don't be. Because Satan will never give up. Hallelujah. Make sure your response doesn't change. Hope you're hearing me. At all times, your response mustn't change. Mustn't.
Sometimes because you have access to a minister or an elderly one, doesn't mean you should walk with this one. You don't know that you have access. You don't say, you don't know that your pastor supports Chelsea. Your pastor supports mine. Now that can be pastor.
You don't want to use that to troll a pastor. No. No, don't be that. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. For an elderly one, you now discover something that, like a weakness. We're going to deal with that shortly. Instead of you to have sense, you now become like Noah's son. Genesis 9. Noah's son, Genesis 9. Quickly. Hey, Genesis 9. Verses 22. It says, and Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. Did you see that? He saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. Verse 25. I mean 23. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backward and saw not their father's nakedness. So Noah woke up from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him, and he said, cursed be Canaan. Did you see that? Amen. He saw the nakedness of his father, and he didn't see and kept him that. He went and he broadcasted it. He saw the weakness of his father. You know, you can just say, and say, what kind of, you know, Noah was a pastor, was a prophet of God. So what kind of prophet is this? Drunken prophet. Did you see that? Opportunity. But what did he do? What did the other two sons do? They covered the nakedness of their father. See, most times in your relationship, you must learn that act of covering people's weakness. That's why you end their life. See, even if you guys are no longer friends, doesn't mean you will now have the right, the excuse to now show them. No. Even if you are no longer friends, you must always have that virtue of covering people's nakedness, people's weakness. Amen. I say this: the secret of my friends remain with me. Even if we stop being friends, that secret is still with me. By the way, my friend, anyone doesn't mean you should be Jesus. No. You're simply still remains. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's still a secret. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I have in my notes, a good friend covers. Doesn't let his friend out in the public. He doesn't call out his friends or call out elderly ones in public. You know what I mean when I say call out? You know what I mean? Don't call them out! I'm speaking my mind! No. Look at Aaron and Miriam. In Numbers 12, Moses married an Ethiopian. You are not supposed to. But he married an Ethiopian. And what did Aaron and Miriam do? They began to say their mind. I will tell you! As if you two were prophets, believe that. Amen? Just like saying we are speaking the truth to power. Moses was also a national leader. He was the leader of the nation of Israel. Yes, he passed. Believe that? You're going to speak the truth to power! Can you be telling us that? How can a man of God be supporting a political party? You know, people are like that. How can the man of God be a national fan? How can the man of God be supporting the devil? And us to speak the truth of power? No. Amen. We're not taught that way. Hope you're hearing me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You don't, you are not taught to stay your mind. Scripture didn't tell you to stay your mind. Then let us speak our mind. A believer is not tossed out. That can't be no sell, man. No. Don't say your mind. Amen. Amen. You work on your mind. The Bible says renew your mind. Amen. Amen. By the renewal of your mind. If your mind is so heavy, renew it. Renew means take it away. Don't say it. Renew it. Amen. We need to God's word. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Renew your mind. I want to say my mind. No. No. Look at Aaron now and Miriam. When God wanted to deal with them, what did God say? If I'm
to talk to his vision and dream now, Moses is faced to be as the
I told some of us on Thursday that because he knew what I teach, knew what we teach concerning giving and stuff. So he never wanted me to get into their talk. I was not part of their talk. He now said some things concerning Daddy Iyadiboye. When he knows this, he doesn't know I don't call him Pastor Iyadiboye, I call him Daddy Adiboye. He doesn't know. I don't think I've ever called him Pastor Adiboye. He's Daddy. Right from time. So he didn't know. He now said some wrong words. See, we are not agreeing in terms of doctrine, but you know what? That guy, I knew your father. As in knowing, looking at him, I know your father says, your father cannot know my father. And this person you are talking about, I still know my father anyway. Amen. So the fact that, see, I cannot call my father Ozomadi. If not, I want to go to the land beyond. You know what I mean? I have to call him that thing. Amen. So there are some things that, you know, it comes down to how you even put their name on your phone. You're not following me. So you will not say, he now said some wrong words. You know what I told him? See, he has never seen me speak that angry. I said, see, in your life. Don't get close to me. Oh, you think I'm going to play into the gallery with you? No. I'm the wrong person that will play into the gallery with you. David, how old are you? Are you my junior? I am the first one of your father. How old is your father? That guy will give birth to your father. Amen? Hey! I think this generation of internet has killed some young ones. To go myself. Hallelujah. They say, oh my! No. They don't talk that way. Hallelujah. So one day, told me something. A young minister started me up.
I now said, he quoted that he had to go in, what he said concerning time. He now said, this is what my pastor now said about time. Listen. He said, but him!
What his pastor said and what Pastor Adeboye said are the same. Then I said, but he thinks that his pastor is right, is wrong. Was certain he said his pastor is wrong. Let's be cut out of that. He has heard
my teaching along that line a bit, but I didn't go deep. I didn't go deep, I just said it on the topic. And he thinks I am right and he's taking my stand. So what do you think? My pastor is wrong.
And I told him, you are the kind of person I must never have as a member in my church. He said, why? I said, how can you be asking me if your pastor is wrong?
Carry your course and go your way. Can you be asking me if your pastor is wrong? Can your pastor be wrong? He said, no sir. Then I said, your pastor is right. He said, but I said, we should take a day very nicely. Is he killing you for bedtime?
are you my member or is my member you? I don't understand. You want to cover me? I said, no, don't.
Your pastor said, if you don't pay tithe, you go to hellfire. You are going to hellfire if you don't pay tithe.
It's as simple as that.
Your pastor said,
don't play me inside. Amen. If you are looking for who you will use to say your mind, don't use me. Amen. And if I catch you in any Saint Pavilion church anywhere, I will chase you away.
You can't be my member, because the mob will turn against
you.
Be careful,
be smart. What am I following you? Be careful. The mob will always turn against you. If you bring rebellion, if the people you are bringing, if you are rebellious and you are bringing rebellion, we are together. You stand against it one day, everyone will stand against you. Teach God's words and don't be rebellious. What are you hearing me? I'm telling you yourself. I'm telling you your work of ministry. Hope you're hearing me. Amen. How we found bridging rebellion? Hallelujah. So we are speaking truth to power. The voice of the people is the voice of God. How many of you have heard that? That's a nonsense talk. In Saul, is that the voice of God? In Moses, the voice of people, was that the voice of God? Don't follow the mobs. Amen? Let's speak truth to power! Power! You don't have such rights. What I have in my notes. You don't have such rights. You have to honor believers. You have to honor leaders. Don't honor leaders. What I mean leaders, national leaders.
Sir, are you
here to say this?
There's a way.
I'm not going to say this, but I'm going to say it. You are my church. Get together. Look up. You can criticize a government without being disrespectful. Amen? You can throw in your criticism without being disrespectful, without constituting a nuisance, and without embarrassing yourself. Can you say, this road is not being done, they should do something. Not, these people are not even doing anything, so it's okay, worry. These people are just worry. You are not insulting. You are not passing the fault. Amen. Don't be like John the Baptist. John the Baptist in Matthew 14 verses 1 to 2. Herod was the political leader. Herod married his brother's wife, took his brother's wife. And so, John, what the Lord, does he consign him? Is Herod a part of his church? Is Herod a part of his church? Then he went to put his mouth in national issue. Political matter. And they used DSS to carry him. And he beheaded him.
You must understand. There must talk the truth of power.
No. Amen. Amen. Be very careful. What does the Bible teach you about your leader? Romans 13. 1 Timothy chapter 2. You pray for them.
Hallelujah. Amen. No leadership of the world. No leader, if you read Romans 13, the leadership of the world is no leader, is the leader of evil. You want to do good. Right? You want to make sure you have good things, even if their pocket is not first. You have to criticize them, criticize them with wisdom. Criticize them and not insult them. Be very careful. Amen? 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 If they come and they don't say they are persecuting me for the gospel, there is no gospel there. They are just being insulted. Glory to God.
Amen. Careful. When people pick on leaders and are talking nonsense, don't join them. I remember a story that I shared with us, that there was a time that in front of me and Professor Woleshu Inka were leading a protest during one of these military regimes. They lead a protest. Ah! Me, ba, ba, ah! You know,
When you show in guy is very educated. So you have to know Gallifoy.
Okay.
Or you don't know your new generation. Gallifoy is one loud guy.
You came Samun because he couldn't get Sam.
And gave you Samun, which is a senior advocate of the masses.
So we we're not green, we're not clear.
So now you see a protest. I was told that I'm in Yamasa. They now asked, they now came from the TV. They now were not intervening. Gallifoy said, we will bring them with prophet. Ah! We will bring them. Ministry is you. You know, after the interview with Gallifoy, somebody now met Professor Olesho in Kana Asusa. In your protest, you people said, you people said, you bring that government and I said, no. I did say I'll bring down the government. Gallifoy said, you know what I said? You know, it's true. Amen. I did say so. He said so. Our protest is that he was one that say it in perfecti. And he says, very simple. That was his own. I know I'm saying that. But if he hears the stories afterwards, he just like, you just see why. When you have an Abacha, if you don't know who Abacha is, don't hear what he says. You know what? Go ask Bella what his life is for. In prison. Then you will understand some things, there are some things you don't go. The democracy! Is that why you are behaving crazy? Don't be crazy.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you must learn to walk, to be respectful to your national leader. Very important. Government, respectful to government. Don't destroy government property. You must be there to criticize them. You criticize them well. And don't insult them. There's a difference between criticizing and insulting. You don't insult people. Amen. Amen. And to your pastor, you must honor your pastor. Honor.
Amen.
So honor, like I have in my notes, honor and loyalty move hand in hand. In fact, honor gives birth to loyalty. When we ask loyalty, what is loyalty?
What is loyalty?
Loyalty means to be faithful. Faithful to a cause. Faithful to a person. Faithful to a people. A cause, a person, a people. In 1 Corinthians 1 verse 9, we're told God is faithful. It's God's character. God is faithful. 1 Corinthians 1 9. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, that way. Said God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hallelujah. So this is God's nature. God is faithful, very faithful. Hallelujah. God is faithful. It's His character from the Genesis. God is faithful to His words, faithful to His promises from Genesis. So when I say God is faithful, then it means what He said from Genesis. Was faithful to it. We saw it in the resurrection. Did you see that? God is faithful to God. Now we have to, yet he stood by Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, Israel went astray in Numbers 13 to 15. My glory will fill the earth. In Habakkuk 6, he is faithful. Then Peter will say, the Lord's suffering of our God is salvation. That is the faithfulness. God is faithful. Long suffering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Long suffering means suffer long. Amen. Hallelujah. So loyalty means And we are to model God's faithfulness in all our relationships. That's what I want to say. So loyalty therefore will mean I will stay in and with you no matter the cost. No matter the cost. I will stay in and I will stay with you no matter the cost. I will be faithful. I will stay. So, what you honor, you will be faithful with. What you honor, you will be faithful to.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I will be faithful to it, means I will not speak bad of it. I will not destroy it. Hallelujah. Even if the person is not dead, even if the person has wronged me, I will still remain blue. Hallelujah. Amen.
Someday I think,
it's part of the things we're going to share along with the church. People need to be loyal even to their nation.
Hallelujah.
Loyal. Loyal to God.
Even if the person is not there, you must be loyal to the person. Be loyal. And you don't need it in just your with your pastor, you need it in all your relationships. Among parents, among husbands and wives, among spouse, among friends, among your in your company, your office, in all your relationships. You have to be loyal.
Loyal. Loyalty means the fact that the other person has done wrong to me, I will still remain loyal. The fact that we're no longer friends, I will still be loyal to the ones who said to me. I will still be loyal to you. I will still be loyal. I will not sell out. Some people are sellouts. Amen? I will be loyal.
Learn to be loyal. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at Jonathan and David. They explained that to us in 1 Samuel 20. David wasn't there, but Jonathan stood his feet for his friend. Was he loyal to your friend? In front of his father, he took a javelin for his friend. How long you can take the heat for your friend? Say, no, I cannot come and die for anybody. You must be ready to take the heat for your friend.
Hallelujah. Amen.
See, that is why, see, in making somebody your friend, see, the great, I'm going to say this towards the end, but let me say it now. See, the greatest, one of the greatest risks you can ever take is making someone your friend. It's a risk. Jesus took the risk. Judas, Jesus being God, had friends that betrayed him. What did all that?
He prayed before he chose, oh, how much more you? You don't pray. You just go and pray, you can just download all of them and you'll be starting with all of that. Jesus prayed and one betrayed, another one denied him. The people he prayed for all night, before he chose them, he didn't just choose, oh, he prayed. He fasted, what did he do? And then he came out by the Holy Ghost, he chose. He prayed, he sent them out. He still had a betrayer and a denier. From that friend, you. Anybody on the street, some dick and hand is your friend. Everybody is my friend. I don't just want to say no to people. You are a risk taker. If by prayer somebody betrays, that means you can have all your friends kill you. But yes, you still be loyal to me. Jesus was loyal to Peter. Peter denied him. Jesus was loyal to him. We want to get to Peter soon.
Hallelujah. Jesus was loyal to Peter. As soon as Jesus was right there, who did he ask for?
Peter. He singled out Peter's name. He said, go tell my disciples, I'm Peter. In fact, he saw Peter separately. Why? Jesus is loyal. I said this to someone once. I said, if Judas was alive, if Judas didn't kill himself, Jesus would have shown up to Judas. That's it.
Loyal to the call. Hallelujah. Loyal to the call. But Judas didn't make us know. He went to kill himself. But guess in there. Look at Jesus and Judas, where I'm going to.
In Matthew 26, quickly, verses 50, look at what Jesus called Judas. Matthew 26, verse 50. You know, when you call someone your friend, it means you're going to, that friend is going to have a vital part in your life. Don't be know that. Some people today, don't even understand what a friend is. Everybody is your friend. Your friend means that, if you're my friend, means I can open up to you. Hallelujah. That's what a friend is. Matthew 26, verse 50. Look at what Jesus said. when Judas brought the soldiers to arrest Jesus, look at what Jesus said. After he kissed him, Jesus said unto him, "Friend, wherefore hast thou come?" He called him what? Friend. Friend. And you know where he took Jesus? You know where he took them to? They were looking for a way to kill Jesus, but they said that he took them to where only Jesus and the disciples knew. Jesus had a secret place where he meets his disciples. And Judas took them there to arrest them. Those guys had been looking for a way to catch Jesus, but Judas took them there.
What a friend. And ask a friend, "Why have you come?" Ah! Whenever I read and I get to that point, I just want to cry.
Just betray your friend.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So Judas wasn't a loyal friend.
Hallelujah.
And Judas is that kind of friend you should never be. Never be that kind of friend. Hallelujah. Look at Matthew 26. Stop the matter. Look at verses 1. Into verse 5, quickly. Verse 1 into verse 5. Are you able to see this? And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all this saying, and said unto his disciples, "Know ye that after 2 days, and look at verse 3. And then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders and people unto the place of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. But they said, "Not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar amongst the people." So they are planning how to kill Jesus. Did you see that? Amen. So they seek for an opportunity to kill Jesus. Verse 14. Then one of the 12, called Judas, went out unto the chief priest and said unto him, "What will you give me if I deliver him unto you?" How did Judas know that they were planning to kill Jesus? It means that
those guys have been coming to the disciples one by one. You see that? That means because they planned it secretly on their own. Well, how did Judas know? Because Judas just went to them. How about you give you? But that means they had a conversation with them. Amen? It shows you that, listen, it shows you how risky it is to have a friend. That means that then after that thing, he goes to your friends to see how he can get to you. That means they go through the disciples over and again. Remember I told you Satan doesn't give up. Did I say that to me? He doesn't give up. That means they've gotten to Judas before. Maybe they said, "No, I will never betray my master. Never! Never!" But now, is offended. In fact, in Luke 22, look at how Luke put it. Let's see if I go to there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at Luke 22.
So the question you ask yourself is, what kind of friend are you? What kind of a friend are you? It's a question you need to ask yourself. What kind of a friend are you? Are you the kind of friend that others can go through to get at your friend? People can go through you. We want to hear gist about Bola. I should come and meet Philemon.
Once I get to Philemon and offer him to me, he'll tell me everything. What kind of friend are you to your friend?
Amen. You have a price. You can be bought over easily.
Do that for his money.
Amen. What can they use to get in?
Maybe if I give me iPhone 14, you tell me everything about Philemon. So shut up. What kind of a friend are you? Can you be bought over?
Can you be bought over? They just give me downloads of this person. I will make sure you have 10,000 likes on Instagram. You say, "Oh yes, I want to hit this. I want to have blue mark. I want to have blue mark." Because of that, you can kill someone. No. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I remember one time like that.
Pastor Shebu said, he had a friend.
They were best friends. They were ministers. They didn't have a fallout. They had a fallout. And yeah, because they had a fallout, another church, now wanted, that church had connection. It was an open door. Now wanted to connect Pastor Shebu. Come and preach for us. In fact, I will link you up to ministers, to nations, different countries of the world. Different continents of the world. You will be preaching. That connection was there. The man told him just to do one thing. Openly and publicly. You see that? Publicly. Denounce your friend and denounce everything your friend stands for. And the door will be open. Just, it's not that you just come on 2 feet and then just mess him up and then. You know it was an easy door. Open door to ministry. You know we don't have to have where 2 or 3 are seated and gathered. You have to have the nation. We are calling nation. Amen? You no longer be calling your church fellowship. You will not be congregation. You know, I need to have, look, this jam, I have a congregation. You know that? He was here back in 90. And he said, look, no. This is what I will need to do. They falling out, and the guy knew that they are no longer friends. You know, there was an opportunity to just tap him. Say, he replied to the pastor. He said, this is what I need to do to get this asset. Keep your assets. Keep your stage. Keep your connection. God will open the nations. Hallelujah. It will take a while for it to open. Is it not opening today? Hallelujah.
It might take years for it to open. Hallelujah. You don't have to go through that route of killing your friend because you want to get the favor. No, you don't have to go through that route. Amen. Amen. Not just, I said it, not just for Christian, your Christian brother, even in your office. Don't be an opportunist. I said it.
I remember one time.
This was just 2 years. No, this was 2018. 2018 is like 5 years back, right? I can remember like yesterday. I was in a strategy meeting in the office. Strategy meeting. And they were coming at my direct boss. And immediately after her, I was the one. They were coming at her. Everybody were, you know, it was sure that they just needed me to just hit the nail on the head. And she's out of the job. And I'm the next person for that job. Just that very simple. Everybody, even the people that were under her, minus me, came at her. Report everywhere. So the whole place was, so the owner of the business, the GM, the last student, now called me smart. What do you have to say concerning this person? Because I know you are the only one that has not spoken. And you are the next in command. So what do you think is wrong? Listen, what do you think is wrong?
I know the moment I say she's the one wrong, actually she was the one wrong. The moment I say she's the problem and this is the one that's the young cow, smart than that.
And that is an opportunity to start earning a million.
So it's very easy. It was very easy. And I stood up. And I said, I should say something. No one came to say something in a strategy meeting. And plan, do plan, you know, speech, you can jump up. And people that are sitting there have gray hair. They've been in the industry for years. I have colleagues and people with that.
And I stood up and I said, very simple. I don't think she's the problem. I think we have too many people who are not team players. And it was ready to play for her.
You know that. That man saw me in a different light that day. People after that meeting came up to me. Some people came and said I was stupid here. But some people who were there my pastor said, I just stuck a trap that was set for me.
Was a very big trap. Was a trap. Don't be an opportunist. Don't say, let me just match Bola's head like this. Watch it! And don't watch it! You're there. No. Don't be an opportunist. Amen. Don't. In friendship, don't be that person. Let me just say my mind, sha sha. You see, some people use this word. Shall you want to get them? Let's just get everything.
You are not born again.
So let's just get everything. Shall we not? Now you want to let's get everything. Everything will end.
I'm going to get to something. I've seen strife kill the work of God in the future.
I have never told you guys this from this angle before.
But the strife has destroyed a work that I planned for 4 years in university.
Strife!
Just
strife! Let's scatter it!
And
strife.
In fact, that's why I scattered everything, and the person who has strife is not in ministry again. He's doing a meal. He's ministering the gospel. What do you do?
Minister!
Do Yahoo, Yahoo!
Woo, Yahoo! I tell you, that guy won cultists, you don't believe!
But today, it's not ministry.
Fire! Amen. Luke 22. Now when the feast of unleavened bread drew near, and he called the Passover, I mean which is called the Passover, and the chief priests and the scribes saw how they might kill him, for they feared the people. That's what we read, right? Then, what happened in verse 3? Then, entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being number of his disciples, being the number of the 12, and he went his way and communed with the chief priest.
What happened? Satan entered him. If you read well, when did Satan enter him? When the woman that brought perfume, call it perfume, fragrance, broke it and fell on him. Right? And he said, all of them got angry. Now people will see they got angry. Say, aha! That was you. Ah! This money could have been, his mind was money. This money would have been used to give to the poor. Yeah. He wanted them to bring his friend, go and sell it.
Say, God has me!
The Bible says, in that anger, Satan entered him. Hallelujah. Satan entered him.
So anger is described as Satan. That means in all your relationships, I beg you, don't give room to anger. And don't be stupid to say, in my family, I have temper issues. No, you don't have temper issues. Say, I have temper issues. I have temper issues. I used to get angry easily. And you say, I'm born again. I hear other people say, I've been like this since I was born. I used to have issues, temper issues since you were born. And you are born again. I don't understand which of the born. I say, I'm born again. And since I was born, I used to have temper issues. The Bible says, is any man being Christ? He is a new creation. All things are happening. There's nothing like I used to. This is how I was born. No! It's not for the believer. Hope you're hearing me. Don't have those kind of useless traits. Say, this is how I was born. I used to have temper issues. Some people will say, if you're a stammerer, you have temper issues. No. Hallelujah. Say, I don't have temper issues. You say it well to yourself, I don't have temper issues. So it means I am an introvert. I'm an extro. I'm sanguine. Sanguine. You. Only you, Koro Queen. Just you. Stop it! I am. No! Anger is. Ah! Sometimes it's because you must see what anger can do. Anger can destroy any kind of relationship. Anger can kill any kind of friendship. Anger can kill what you treasure. Anger. So don't allow anger at all. I've seen two brothers destroy their father's property because of anger. When people are angry, they behave like animals. And they let out their anger. They behave like animals. Have you seen people who are angry? And it's like, at the end. Who is fighting you? Who is doing you? I'll kill you now. It's anger. Anger! Deal with it. You want to go? Deal with anger. And we get angry. Say, I get angry so easily. We look at Genesis chapter 13, verse 8. Abraham will say to Lot, then let there be no strife between me and you, between my headmen and your headmen. Say, for we'll be brethren. Jesus, let there be no strife, for we'll be brethren. So that means, what must never be found among brethren is strife. Anger. What must never be found among brothers in church, sisters in church at home, is anger. Never allow anger to stay. Never! Never! Mark those things that make you get angry. Mark them. Sometimes, when you are angry at them, just keep quiet. Leave the vicinity. Don't say a word. All these brothers and sisters will be doing in church. He won't let you in today. Amen! See, watch it. When people begin to talk, what is this? Is it my entry? When they begin to tilt all this, anger. That person is as sweet to the flesh. You know what you can do as a brother? Just walk out. And then start walking. Or do just lay on the desk and come out. I like my friend Jeremiah. Get a memory. Jeremiah will do that. Punch you hard. You don't trust the power of God. You don't trust God's power. That is why.
Hallelujah.
Then I get out of me. Hallelujah. Amen.
You can walk out and say, get out of that guy.
Who is that?
You have not iron. That is going out of you now. Why
are
you coming to come here? That is getting out. Amen. 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 Amen.
No, you calling to that? Get out! Come here now, just be joking.
Get out before I get back! No way to go.
I'm telling you the truth, before you get back, the Satan will be out. Trust the power of God. Come on. Hallelujah!
Be careful. Don't lose time.
And it's what it is. Do you know my age? What is it about your age? What is it about your age? You know who are you? Thank you.
Can your age and go and cook food?
Glory to God. Amen. Amen. So you keep strife out of all your relationships. So people, the most painful one is people now have strife with their parents. No, I'm going to end with parents. As we come to an end. Hallelujah. Keep strife out of all your relationships. I've seen strife kill God's own meeting. I told us. Strife. Strife. It just ends up. Bam, 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 bam. Everything scattered. Everything scattered. Everything scattered. I cried. I cried. So be careful. In Acts of Apostles chapter 15, verse 36, strife made us want to hear about Barnabas in ministry again. Strife. Barnabas and Paul again. Barnabas and Paul. Strife. Acts 15, 36. Note 39. There was great contention between Barnabas and Saul and Paul. Barnabas went his way.
And we did hear of Barnabas again. The revelation. We did hear him about him. So strife can be that strong.
can be that strong. I cannot have that strength. Now leave your local church. Now go and start up your own ministry. Start international family related ministry. You're not being the title, but you're being in the mission. So everything you are doing is now forming an anger to fight other person with you. No. A church built on strife can never stand. Amen. Strife can hinder the flow of God's power. Strife can hinder the flow of God's spirit. Strife is that very strong. Hallelujah. Strife. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I wrote in my notes, strife is a destroyer. A breach of this honor. Never allow it. Have mutual respect in all your relationships. Have mutual respect. This will be very vital. Strife is a destroyer. Rather, have mutual respect in all your relationships. Not ready to respect. Have mutual respect in all your relationships. Also, learn to say, I am sorry. Some people, that I am sorry is like a trailer load of cement in their mouth. They can't say, I'm sorry. Learn to say, I'm sorry. Hallelujah. How about learn to bear the loss? Yes, amen. Hallelujah. Learn to bear the loss of people. Learn. Don't say, stand up. Anger still your mind. Because you're not angry with Bola. Why am I using Bola today? You're not angry with Bola, you stop coming to church. God don't want to be seen as face in church. No. Hallelujah. Never allow strife. We can do business. We can have a business deal with another sister, with another brother, with another friend.
Why would you go and put money like that now? Are you not speaking in tongues?
No. Business can go fast. As a bad man.
Now say, I will see. See, we cannot say, I will change it for pastor.
Business can go bad.
I'm just respecting you. I'm respecting you because you are pastor's sister. It's not because you have an air or life.
No. No.
If you understand his business,
you must know that sometimes he can go bad.
You must be ready for it. What if he goes bad? Would that, because business went bad, you now have a rift with a brother, no, or a sister, no.
So we will lose every sense of respect and just talk anyhow.
No. No. Hallelujah. No. No.
You know that?
Who says you can't do business with him?
You can.
If you don't go bad, you hold yourself in the Holy Ghost. Because you see you the one that will be.
Amen. It's money. Money goes by, it goes up.
Amen.
Amen.
We'll lose some, we'll do more. But we'll lose.
Don't say, hey,
move on.
Just to move on. You know what, we'll do better ones.
That's no problem.
Come on, you guys. You need to be taught this view as you are growing. As you are growing, you need to be taught. Because many of us are doing business together.
And we'll get to you. For bad things.
No, sir.
I remember the time when
Santos had issue. Somebody came to me and said, Is Pastor this person not the MD? I said, yes. He said, how did this end? Did you see that? Don't you speak it out? Don't you say?
Me as your senior pastor. My money did not have slept to you.
I was like, I was lying.
So you have to be alive.
I know I've given my life to Jesus. You're giving your life to Samuel. Amen. When the Lord comes, don't look like him.
For me, I was just smiling in the Holy Ghost. Because the ones I won is more than the ones I lost. I was just smiling. I got my money back. Very wise.
Yeah? I look like, yes, money lost. Money lost a lot. But you know what? Did that man make you happy?
You see yourself.
He showed that you were never walking in the spirit. You know, you tell your Shaitan. We love it. Come on, pray more, we'll do more. You see, you pray more, we'll do more. Hallelujah!
But because of that, you say, you're no longer deep, you're no longer investing. Yeah. Sure. If they give me opportunity to invest again, I'll invest. And I will not leave. I know when to pull out. Nobody will. They don't have to pull out. Because from 100,000 to 200, you know, carry on the whole 200 you see.
No, who's that? Take 100. And this is my, you know, share the word, this is my capital.
Oh yeah, let me play with this 100. Everything goes there, my money is free. Amen.
But that's the why.
Amen. Businesses can go back. That's what I'm saying. Our businesses go back ready to say you are sorry. Don't allow anger to get the better part. Amen? Amen? Learn to say I'm sorry. You know, it's something you need to learn. Some people don't know how to say it. So if they say, I'm sorry, let him say it first. No, say I'm sorry. Say I'm sorry unconditionally. Bless you.
Yeah, you like saying I'm sorry? Yes,
I'm sorry. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, we're rounding off. Hallelujah.
Yeah, so learn to say you're sorry. Learn to have respect. Loyal. Be loyal and be very honorable. Be very honorable.
Also to our parents.
These are our clothes.
To our parents. Many a time, see, I discovered that some people have solid relationship with their parents. Yeah.
See. Sometimes it might be because of your parents didn't want you to get to go to church, and you're going like coming to our church, Saint Pavilion Church, you get angry, soiled relationships, sometimes you're because of how you're flogged and punished and some things done to you. Some people fell out with their parents. Some people are very disrespectful to their parents. The Bible teaches us to honor father and mother. So is that?
That your days may be long.
Honor father and mother. I've heard someone Christocentric. You know, let me call it, the way Pastor Shem will call it, Christoelectric.
He said, my father and my mother don't matter. What matters is my pastor. God is not going to ask my father and mother any question about me. Is my pastor God is going to ask. So my father and mother doesn't matter.
I know that God is going to ask about you and your pastor. But yet, he gave it to your parents.
Different reason. And he says, you honor them.
Very vital. You honor them. So that means you have a duty towards your parents. See, no parent gave birth to you. And some grow this way, to this level. And they said, most times, our parents, because of the kind of culture and background that they came from, many of them find it hard to tell you I love you. How many of you your father has ever told you I love you? Put your hands down. You are a new generation. So many of you, the rest of you, how many of your father has ever told you I love you? Love bow. It's because you are not taught to express that they love you. Where is that? How many of your mother has said, ah, my love, I love you. How many of your mother has said, put your hands down. Your mother is tish. Your mother is tish.
How many of you? The one I know when your mama tell you I love you, so you better keep your hands down. Amen. Hope you are following me. Most times, it's how they were brought up.
They were not brought up to say I love you with mouth. They were told to say I love you by providing for you. Amen. Taking you to school.
Like a
man and a woman, the woman filed him for divorce. And the man was surprised. Man said, no. The man went to the magistrate, and the magistrate said, woman, why are you divorcing your husband? And the husband, being a typical African man, the woman said, because since he will go marry, he has never said, I love you. And that's the man, why would you say I love you? That? Because I've not changed my mind. Say what? See, because on that day on the altar, I told her I love you. And since then to today, I have not changed my mind. I still love her. So I don't see is when I've changed my mind, I want to say, I don't love you again. So in his mind, he felt I said it once for all. I love you. That is all. Did you see that? And the woman wants to be hearing, I love you every night. And the man tells the woman, I love you once. I told you, it's an internal I love. Did you see that? Amen. Amen. I know of a friend that told me, can never tell the woman he loves you. No, sir. In school. Because that's how he was wired. He was brought up in Nsukka. His life in Nsukka. I've never seen, so if I like the girl, I don't know whether I love you once. Why do you need for my love? If I buy you food, buy you this, buy you this, I love you. Some parents are like that. Our parents are not expressive in terms of how they feel about you, but they really love you. No, they are. He used to smack me. He used to insult me. That is how he's showing his love. You don't know. So, listen to what I want to say. See, many of us don't know the value we have having our parents around us. Especially for those of us who are parents are alive. The both of them are alive. You don't know the value you have until you lose them. When most of them are getting aging. When you lose them and they are gone, all you will have is memories. And a memory that is not created well. A memory that you've not, when you don't have a good memory, what you will have when they are gone is regret. So learn to love your parents. Amen. How about buying things for them? Sending them recharge cards. You can do that. Amen. They don't need to tell you I love you. You start telling them now. Since you now know how to say I love you, start telling them, Daddy, I love you. Amen. If you have issues at home with your parents, it's time to resolve it. It's time to resolve it. I have to go back and say, Daddy, I'm sorry. I never knew you loved me. But you know what? You were not forced to express it. The dad knew that you were not forced to express it. I almost broke down. But I knew for my parents, for my dad. And dad has never told me I love him. But you know what? There was never a time I asked him for money that he doesn't provide. Sometimes they go out of their way to provide. And you think they are wicked. Because he said you should not pray tongues again. This is wicked! It's persecuting my soul. See? You know? And it's because of what they told them about speaking in tongues sometimes. Maybe sometimes they told them that those that speak in tongues are speaking Satan's tongues. So he doesn't want you to go to hell. That is why. Just see for that. And you know, tell them they explain for that. Most times, if you discover, most times, if we could actually repair that relationship, many of them can win for Christ, even at their old age. We can. We can. Amen. We're no longer at that point where we feel everything they are being wicked to us, because in the morning they will come to your head, they will ask you, run, and you feel, no, they didn't love you. Hallelujah. Amen. So don't soil it. Don't soil it. Because when they've gone, you only have memories. And memories that you didn't share well when they are alive with you in the earth, you have regret as memories. Hope you're hearing me. So you're going to go back. You're going to love them. You're going to honor them. And then, love them, honor them, be respectful to them. Like I said to you, you can't be at home. Me, as you see me as your pastor, like get home and my mom, our very everyday food at home, that's when I was on base, those who know me, we pound it well. I can't get to my father's house and I'll allow my mother to be pounding to food. God forbid.
Take it off him. Take it off that pastor and pound it. Pound it well. Okay? We don't need to say that they pound it. They pound it. You know, when they pound it, you have money. That is the sign. The sign, I want to speak in tongues. How is that speaking in tongues? Amen?
You are at home, you are doing chain prayer. Your mother is sweeping the compound. It's an day, I'll slap death out of your ear.
How many people want to sweep the compound? Sweep the compound. Talk about chain prayer. Sweep it and do your chain prayer. Sweep it and chain prayer. Sweep the compound. Hallelujah.
Value relationships. Amen. Value relationship. Hope you're hearing me. Value relationship. Value your friends. You're going to call your friends that you had fallout with. You're going to call family members you had fallout with, that you're angry with. You're going to call them tonight. God wants us to amend relationships. That's the reason for this teaching. God wants us to amend all relationships. That's get prepared to see us. Because you'll be receiving for all your relationships. So, I'm going to reach out.
Say, sir, this doesn't betray me yet.
Yes,
but you're going to be like Jesus.
I forgive you.
Hallelujah.
You're going to call tonight, tomorrow. You're going to place calls. You're going to write down their names. You're going to call them for broken relationships.
And once you have, let you pray for your friends.
Hallelujah. Let's pray for all your relationships. Sometimes a relationship can start as a platonic relationship. A friend on the social media. But God wants it to be supernatural. Amen. So many of your casual friendship is becoming supernatural. Amen. Amen.
By the power of the Holy Ghost. And lost relationships, broken relationships are mended tonight. In the name of Jesus.
Let's be on our feet as we thank the Lord. Let's be on your feet. You could take...